broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Oh, Ben Crenshaw. Today is a very, very, very special day. Today is Veterans Day. And to my fellow veterans, young and old, every rank and beyond political divides, thank you for loving this country enough to step up and fight for it. That type of selfless bravery is rare and serves as a beacon of light to the world. I salute each of you, respectfully, Colonel Nick Nichols, retired president, Folds of Honor Foundation, and I second that emotion. And to my son, who always says, I'm not a veteran, Mom, I'm still active duty. Yes, indeed you are, but you're a veteran of many tours of duty in Afghanistan and Iraq, and I salute you. Good morning, Hawaii. It is Saturday. It is November 11th, 2023, and welcome into the Golf Clubhouse. Inside the Golf Club studios on Oahu's South Shore, we've got a great list of folks coming in. Steve Pike and Claude Brousseau and Max Novina from the Century and Frank Nobolo, a 15-time professional golf champion. First, your forecast. It's going to be partly cloudy with scattered showers, mainly night and mornings. On the leeward side, mostly clear except for isolated showers. So the high today, 87 degrees. What month is this? This is November, right? Okay. The low tonight, yeah, I'll take 71, but it'll probably be 76. Breezy trade winds. We're going for it. 10 to 25 miles per hour. So let's enjoy it and get out and play a round of golf. Hilo Muni, the 58, let's see now. It's 58 degrees at the Hilo Muni, no? It's 58 degrees at the Volcano Golf Club, and that's where the Hilo Munis are out playing their round of golf. There's an 842 and a 916. Makalei has a 920 and a 1018 and an 1118. Poipu on the beautiful Garden Island, there's a 1030, an 1110, and a 110. And Kauai Lagoons has a 950. Hawaii Kai, 928. Waikele, 850, 1010. Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 830, 920, 1108. Eva Beach Golf Course has a 1018 and an 1130. Let's see, Wailea Gold, a 10 o'clock and a 1010. That's a gorgeous course. Emerald 2, 940, 1020, 1050. And on the blue course, we've got the Better Half Tournament. Now, this is men's and women's. So acknowledging that, yes, we're the better half. Everybody's equal. Maui Nui, 848, 1036, 1128, and the Dead Shot Group. They're going out. They've got their tournament going on. All right, we're bringing in Frank Nobolo, 15-time professional golf champion, 2-time President's Cup international assistant captain, member of the New Zealand Golf Hall of Fame, founder of the Nobolo Foundation, and of course, he's a CBS sports analyst and commentator after this.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. Brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe, cleanup, 24-7, licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwile. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwile and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. And Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
All right. And now, Frank Nobolo, golf analyst, CBS Sports, yes, commentator, analyst, professional golfer. He won 15 pro tournaments worldwide, 2-time President's Cup international team assistant captain, member of the New Zealand Golf Hall of Fame, and he founded the Nobolo Foundation. This is the 21st year. Welcome into the clubhouse, Frank.
Thank you, Danielle. It's nice to be back chatting. Sorry, the last time we chatted, the fires hadn't happened in Maui. I was actually going to ask you about that because it seems to be like a forgotten thing.
Oh,
Lahaina was always one of my most favorite places to visit.
Yes, and definitely not forgotten here. We're really working hard to get everybody in permanent housing, because right now it's frustrating. A lot of folks are in hotel rooms, which is terrific to have a place, but it's a hotel room. You know, you can't really have neighbors coming by. You can't. It's so different in a hotel, and they want homes, but it's the price of housing and the scarcity of open units. It's tough, but everyone has pulled together, raising money to help, just help, and sending whatever they can to help the residents. And, of course, the Century is going to be played. And Century Insurance has raised over $1 million. We're going to be talking with Max Novina, the tournament director for the Century. Huge numbers of dollars coming in from all around the world and from the Century folks. So, thank you for asking, Frank. It's terrible to see the images. You know, it's like it's burned out, the whole place. It's like paradise in California.
Yeah, no, it's weird, you know, because as you know, it's Veterans Day. Actually, the Folds of Honor event was at Lake Nona yesterday. I remember talking to Major Dan Rooney, who helped get that off the ground years ago. And, you know, when people need help, it's fine to, like, put your hand up, but there has to be an infrastructure. So I'm glad to hear Lahaina's on the recovery.
Yeah.
And that's great. So, maybe today's a good day.
Yes. You know, we have to just continue and know that it's going to take time. 15, well, let's hope it's 5 years, but it's probably going to be longer than 5 years, more like 10 years, and it's going to take everyone pulling together, as you said. You know, as an aside, before we jump into, I want to talk about the 21st Nabilo Foundation dinner tonight and then the golf tournament tomorrow and why you founded the foundation. But I also want to ask you about Max Homa. Max Homa is American and playing in the Nedbank Golf Challenge. He's in the lead by one stroke, 13 under. How important is it for golfers to play around the world, kind of like Brooks Koepka did?
Yeah, it's essential. Obviously, you're speaking to a person that grew up in New Zealand, and the way in which I got into the game, there's a public course down the road where I played my first ever round of golf called Chamberlain Park, and Arnold Palmer played there. So as a kid, you know, we would see some of these great players. They played in New Zealand. Cibriano Ballesteros is another one. When he was, I think, about 19 years of age, I was just down for the Asia-Pacific Amateur Championship at Royal Melbourne. And I remember in 1981 was the first time, you know, I got to play that golf course, and I got to play with Peter Thompson, five-time Open champion, Kel Nagy, who won the Centenary Open, and a guy called Billy Dunk, who had more course records than anyone. That was my introduction. So if it wasn't for great players traveling around the world, the game wouldn't get shared. So, you know, I've always thought that was the one thing, and I hope Jay Monahan in the future, with what's going on in golf right now, that we start to, you know, spread that love a little bit. So, you know, it's good to see some of the guys in South Africa. It does bring up a sore point for me, because if you follow rugby, South Africa beat New Zealand in the Rugby World Cup. So I didn't really want to go there that early. And I have too many South African friends, and they crow an awful lot. And they're really poor winners. So really, really bad winners.
They're really bad winners. You know, it is an art to be a good winner. But you have to
tell them that.
All right. There are two. I was just looking for my paperwork. There are two tournaments or two entities that are joining forces. There are two mini tours. I don't know if that's the right word for it. But I think two tours are going to be melded, the Canadian tour and another tour, and it's going to become one. And I think that gives it more power, I would think.
Yeah, when it used to be the Canadian tour, and then it became, you know, the PGA Canadian tours. They have PGA China tour, as well as Latin America. To be honest, you know, the last couple of weeks I've sort of, you know, taken a bit of a sabbatical away from golf. So I'm guessing that's probably a culmination between Latin America and Canada. I could be wrong.
You're right.
And I think it's great, because once again, you're upping the standard. You know, right now, you know, I know people talk about the negativity in golf, but, you know, like, for example, as I just said, I came back from Melbourne. The youth movement in golf, male and female, is tremendous. And that's the one thing, you know, because I'm sort of anti the ball going too far and all this sort of thing. But lighter equipment and all that has enabled people to get into the game earlier and learn to swing the club better.
Mm.
So the one byproduct of the equipment is we're getting these really good young players, male and female. And so you need tours that are going to give them a really good chance because the depth is there across the world. So you've got to have developmental tours. And in some respects, it's like turning the clock back because if you came from Australasia, you went to Asia. That's actually where I first met Payne Stewart in the early 80s. Some went to Japan, some went to Europe, and then eventually you made your way to the PGA Tour. That was the Holy Grail. A couple of those steps have sort of been omitted now because some people go to college. But also, you know, when you take out, you know, one of those avenues, then we actually lose players that, for example, might be a better player in their 30s. Than what they, you know, if they weren't quite good enough in their 20s. So you've got to have that sort of all-encompassing developmental tours and programs available to these players. So that'd be a great move.
Yes, and I can see that. I think, you know, exposing yourself to immersing yourself into other cultures, other places, it just enhances your thinking. You know,
it's also culture. It's a cross culture. You learn. You know, when you go into a place that doesn't speak English as their first language, you know, you learn. You have to adapt, and then you realize, well, this is good. You know, what a luxury where we play. When you come home, if you're an American and you come back to America, I think you appreciate what you have at home. Once again, just to bring up Veterans Day, you know, we take for granted a lot of the things we get to do day in, day out because of the people that afford for that. And golf is no different. So, you know, when you do travel a little bit, you actually realize we've got it pretty damn lucky.
Yes, exactly.
We got it good.
Quit complaining.
Yeah. I always complain anyway. What the hell?
So here's a quote from you. In a country with so much wealth, no one should have to struggle, especially children. However, many of our youngest citizens lack the basics that they need to live comfortably. We want to do our part to improve the lives of young children by providing support for underprivileged children in Orlando, Florida. So when did you come to this conclusion that you? When did you decide that you needed to found the Nabilo Foundation and bring this issue to fore?
Do you want the truth, or do you want the public statement?
No, I want the truth.
Okay, well, you know, every household is run by the woman, right? So there's no two ways about it.
Yep.
So, my wife, actually, years ago when I first met her in the UK, she actually used to run a blind golf day at Wentworth, believe it or not. So she's always been the philanthropic one of the family. And just living in this community, and she would volunteer in a lot of the activities that were around. I was sort of immersed going from golf to TV. And she just turned at me and like, well, what are we going to do? And I'm like, well, you know, I didn't know what she was talking about at first. She said, well, what are we going to do to help our community? It's where we live now, right? And, you know, we've lived here now for 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm like, yeah, it's a good point. I said, well, so we aligned originally with the Rotary Club of South Orlando. And they had an event at a golf course called Kissimmee Bay. They were raising a few $1,000s, and they asked if we would help. So we basically sort of grabbed the reins, and we said, well, you know, like, if we want to be involved, we want to be hands-on. We want to be able to make decisions and all of that. And it just grew from that. And the statement is correct. We originally just, because this is the way it was started off, we just tried to take children shopping, underprivileged kids shopping. It's $100 per child.
I remember and that. Yes.
Yep. We still do that. And, you know, Target opens the door at, you know, between 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning. It's actually going to be December 9th this year, off the top of my head. And, you know, we take pretty close to 1,000 kids that come from a variety of schools. And then as the foundation got a little more successful, you know, we thought, well, what else could you do? So we try and help us. It was a Title I school. Used to be called Cypress Park Elementary. It's now called Sally Ride. And, you know, when you see a school change, because, you know, even like bus routes, if you live within a couple of miles, the bus wouldn't pick you up. So it meant if Dad lost his job, Dad didn't take you to school. So a lot of kids were missing on school. So we went at everything from like bus routes to, we went to a recital this year. I had a week off, fortunately I was home, and given the rights for the Lion King. So we saw these kids dress up. Our foundation tried to help with some of the costumes and that. And I have to admit, I did shed a tear. It's great to see it through. And the kids made a big deal of it. They really did. And we couldn't have been more proud of them. So a bit like that, we also, there's an SOS foundation with some girls that are getting scholarships in various schools in Orlando. So they need a stipend. It's fine to get a scholarship, but how do they, you know, feed themselves?
Yes.
Yeah, live is a much better word, exactly. So we try and assist in that as well. So the more, you know, we are a niche foundation. I mentioned the Folds of Honor here yesterday. They're a different league, but we're community-based. So people that come and support, matter of fact, right now, about 15 feet away from me is six ladies with my wife in the kitchen going through the auction items for tomorrow night. Oh. And so it's very much hands-on. And I'm proud of that. So I think if you're going to do something, you have to be involved. And I would love to take the credit, but I think it was either be involved or get divorced. So I chose the latter.
Yay, you.
Yes. But, under the thumb, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes that's necessary. But in addition to taking them shopping, you've set up reading and math tutoring.
Yes, actually, yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. We have our mentors, they call it. Mustang is motive for the school, so we have our Mustang mentors, and it's basically math and English. A lot of the kids are Hispanic, for example, so their English isn't that great. Their English and math scores have gone through the roof.
Wow.
Over the last, I'm going to say 5 to 10 years now, purely because of the mentors. Now the mentors aren't they're not taking the place of teachers; they're just supplementing. So some of it's private tuition. Sometimes it's just when they'd be out there on the sport helping kids that are struggling a bit. And we're really proud. We mention that every year when they come to the dinner, the mentors, because, you know, if you really want to put back to people, you know, number one, you've got an educated child is a better child. It makes the community better. But also it helps trust, because if you come from a fairly affluent community and you go into one that is struggling and you show support, then they start to believe in people, and they realize that they're not forgotten, and so you are also trying to instill trust, and that's hard today, to try and make children trust, especially when they come from a less fortunate environment. So trust is a big factor.
Wow. I think math and reading tutoring is so important. And particularly for me, it would be math, because I can sit in front of the teacher during the day and understand in the moment. But if I have to take it home and do homework, then it's like, wait a minute. How did we get from here to there? I can't remember the process.
And if you're a golfer, you know, most of them can't pop. They can't count past seven. So, right. You know, so if you're a golfer, yeah. So that's it. Really. Yeah.
See, speaking of golf, you have the dinner tomorrow night, and then golf on Monday. Where are you playing?
It's also at Lake Nona. So we originally used to just have the golf day, and that made it, you know, really golf specific. And then one way to raise money, obviously, is to widen the net. So some people play tennis, pickleball, whatever the sport is, so they go to the dinner and not play golf, which is fine. So, you know, we'll have tomorrow night, I think we have 225 people for dinner and with our auction. So you just try and widen that net where it's a good demographic that gives us a chance to succeed. And then the golf is you know, what we've done from day one. So really it's trying to condense 2 days into one event.
Are you playing?
No, I get to go around and take pictures with people. I do the really hard work. Yeah, I used to a few years ago. I'd stand on a hole, but the problem is, you know, there's a lot of other things you have to do, as you would know, in these events. So I try and meet every single person that's playing in the event. So if you played with one group, you would miss all the others. We have 33 foursomes. My wife broke the rule. I always said quick and fast was the best way to have an outing. We have one wave, and then it just kept going up. So I think we hit our limit at 33. So when you're whizzing around trying to give the odd person a lesson or chat or thank them, you don't want to sort of add too much time to their day. But it's fun. At the end of the day, you know, you're tired, but you actually feel it's one of the days that I actually feel like I've done something good.
Right. Yeah, that's for sure. That's beautiful. Yeah. Speaking of scores and adding, you know, what do you think about the USGA and the RNA new rules that are coming out that allows you to include your 9-hole score for your handicap and shorter length golf courses get to be included as well?
Yeah, I'm not in love with some of those things. You know, I fully support the USGA and the RNA on you know, especially whether it's distance. I was on a podcast the other day with Gary Williams, and we, you know, like, for example, the anchored putter. I remember Tim Clark coming up and saying, you know, every other rule's benefited someone that hits the ball further. And now, finally, you know, there's a rule that enables me, to helps me,
yeah,
to putt better, which is the anchored putter, and they take it out, which they did in January 1st, 2016. So I think they are trying to cater for the demand now of time. You know, often the family unit now, both husband and wife work, so there's less time in the weekend. So whether it's 9 holes or shortened courses or whatever, I think it is an adaptation going forward. But, you know, I'm still, you know, I'll openly admit it, I'm still a traditionalist. You know, I still love what golf stands for. I don't like the shortened version, but just like our foundation, I get outvoted a lot, and I'm happy to be outvoted. That's fine. I think that's what opinions are for. So if it does keep more people playing golf, then hey, they've got my support.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and instead, I'm not going to play 9 holes. It doesn't help my handicap. But now, you know, it's all part of it. Switching gears a little bit to Augusta National and Annika Sorenstam now being a member. Condoleezza Rice, Darla Moore, there are others. Of course, we don't know everyone's name, but Gary Player was in the booth in an event. And I know that you've been focusing on the foundation, so I hope, you know, Gary Player was thrilled for her that she's going to be able to play, you know, and she's a member. But when he was asked about what he thought about the Augusta National Women's Amateur, he said he didn't agree that that was a good thing. But no one followed up and asked him why. They just changed the subject. I don't know.
Yeah, well,
protecting Gary? I'm not sure if he was going to go on a rant or something. I just thought maybe you had a clue. Why would that be a bad thing in anyone's world? I don't understand that.
Yeah, I would have liked to have heard the follow-up question. I did read about that. Also, Gary said he'd broken his age. I think it was 2,600 times in a row. and then somebody, I don't know, put out something about 5 years ago that, you know, he hadn't. So, you know, I, personally, my mum just had her 87th birthday. We were down in New Zealand. I mean, I think you're entitled to a senior moment, and hopefully that's what it is. But, you know, I was lucky enough to be involved in the first ever ANWR, and I know only the final round is played there, but also drive, chip, and putt. And there are initiatives that was started with Billy Payne when he was chairman. And, you know, the wheels are slow in changing in Augusta for good reason, because going back to some of the rules in golf, we can change too quickly in some things. So they've been incredibly conservative, even like putting the new 13th tee in. You know, last year, I thought it brought it closer back to the perfect par five, which is the way in which the hole was designed. But, you know, they showed you the new tee about 4 or 5 years ago. They sort of said, we don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And they give you the steps beforehand. And they did the same. I remember I was on doing a Golf Central when Darla Moore and Condoleezza Rice were members. It was public. And then I remember talking to some of the Augusta members, and I said, well, you know, was this fast-tracked? And they go, no, they went through the same process. So from that part, I'm very proud. I know Annika, she's a good friend of ours. She went through that process. It wasn't, you know, she wasn't fast-tracked. I know there'll be a lot of expectations that, you know, oh, we can just change the game. But, you know, it took a while to get ANWR. I think it's a tremendous success.
It is.
Whether they play one round or all three there. And I know Billie Jean King was like, well, now we've got to have, you know, like a ladies' masters. Hopefully that'll happen in my lifetime, but it'll happen for the right reasons. So, you know, like I said, I'd like to give Gary a leave pass on that because there was no follow-up. But yeah, it didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, thank you, because there was no follow-up. They just, I was like, why didn't you ask him? Anyway, changing gears again. And this is Tiger Woods. And Tiger Woods walking for 4 days, carrying his son's bag, son Charlie playing, and then saying that his ankle is fine. Isn't that the ankle that completely took him out of a tournament in England?
Yeah, well, that's also the one that was crushed. And, you know, he's had ankle injuries on both sides. You know, that's the thing. He had an ankle injury before, remember, you know, as well as the broken knee when you go back to the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. Mm. But, you know, I have a very good friend that's, you know, one of the world's leading teenage orthopedic surgeons. And the injury that he had in the car, and is not uncommon, that leg was completely smashed, you know, really the right leg. So just to see him walk, you know, it's amazing. Some of the events that I've been able to call, one of them was Tiger's 82nd win in Japan. Actually, Steve Sands was the host that day. And you knew you were seeing history, and I never thought it would stop there. So it's a lesson to everybody, too, to be a little careful. But just to see him walk's great, but, you know, I don't know. We just missed out because he's played the greatest golf I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
You know, the debate, obviously, Jack Nicklaus, 18 majors, Tiger Woods, 15. I know those numbers are set in stone, but just to see him play again, if he wants to, I think is great. You know, the fact that he's out there with Charlie, there's a good rumor that he'll play in the PNC, the father and son, that would be good. Because every time he tees it up, I think it doesn't matter what your age is, you'll remember a specific Tiger Woods moment, which will bring you back to maybe when you were 15 or 20 or whatever that age was where you really sort of became in love with the game. He brought so many people into the game. The reason why the Steph Currys and the Michael Jordans play today, and which are also spreading the net for golf, is because of Tiger Woods. So, you know, the reason why the players today play for so much money, it's not because of great management, it's because of Tiger Woods. So, you know, he's just a complete game changer. So for him, you know, I wish him good health, but that leg, you know, I've seen it up, you know, sort of up close, and it's, I don't know how he walked on it. I really don't. It's a miracle, but we can't expect miracles from him. He's basically playing on one leg, and still, you know, when they played so well on the PNC, was it 2 years ago? It was pretty close to the accident. I thought that was incredible.
Yeah.
I think they birdied the last eight holes in a row. but yeah, you know, like I said, I miss his golf because I saw his golf at the best. And especially the, you know, I was still playing in, you know, late 90s, early 2000s. And when you teed it up, some of the things he did, you know, I remember a World Cup in Argentina, it's a team event. The American team was Duval, and that's when Duval was, you know, fighting around for number one in the world. And Tiger, we played with him on the third round, and he hit some shots. You know, he would hit shots every now and again. You'd go, that one's not possible. And Ernie Els, one of the greatest players also of that generation,
yes,
the second shot on the ninth hole with Hazeltine, for Ernie to say it's the greatest shot he's ever seen.
Wow.
There was too many things that were said like Tiger, so it's hard for me to comment on it because I have too many great memories of him at his peak.
I hear you. I hear you. When you said, you know, it just all brings everything back. Like, yes, I miss watching Tiger Woods play at the top of his form. It was like, it was captivating. You couldn't stop watching. You know, you had the next one and the next one and the next one, and then the smile on his face, and it gives me goosebumps. You know, it's just like just talking about it. It was amazing, and I'm not making. Okay, switching to something Tiger's involved with, TGL. Can you please tell me what that stands for? TGL, Tiger GL League. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, probably Tiger's Golf League.
Yeah.
It's a cross between stadium and simulated golf. It's interesting. You know, by virtue of travel, I've played in South Korea as well as being there as an announcer as well. And they're they have the largest number of simulated golfers in the world. And when I first heard that, I'm like, that seems a bit weird. And then, you know, you go to a restaurant and you see nets up there and simulator golf. So it's a way. I'm also one of the voices on EA Sports. So I realize that there's a lot of different ways that people want to consume the game. So I think it is interesting. I like the fact that it's in the off season. I like the fact that it's on, you know, early in the week, so it doesn't compete with football and some of the other sports. I think it's an alternative. And I like the fact that other sportsmen are getting involved in, whether it's buying a team or whatever. So, yeah, until you see it, you don't really know what it's going to look like. The biggest thing for me, I think if we can get the personality of the players to come across, because in the middle of the tournament, and I know at CBS we've tried really hard too, and it's been very successful, having the players mic'd up for a hole during the course of the season. That's a, you know, Sellers Shire, our producer there, has done a great job of that. And Trevor Emmerman, the lead analyst, has asked some great questions. So when you get inside a player's mind, well, hopefully we're going to see a more relaxed side of some of these great players, and it will humanize them. And if that happens, then I think it's a home run.
Yes.
If you can just get them just talking vaguely like they talk in the locker room, honestly, the viewer at home would love it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they when you hear a golfer just, you know, like anyone out there that's got a professional golfer as a friend, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Because when they're just on that normal level and they just talk as friends talk, it's totally different, not golf speak, and it's great. So if we get some of that, then, like I said, I think it's a home run.
That great, great insight. Thank you very much. Rory was quick to say that, you know, they're not trying to cannibalize the regular tour like Liv did. Well, you know, you're of course not. You're playing on a Monday night. You know, it's not like you're going out. What are your thoughts on Liv?
Well, it's a divorce in golf. And I choose that word because I know early on in my life I went through it, and nothing good happens in that. And it is a separation of ways. If Liv never happened, I don't think we'd be having the ridiculous amounts of prize money that they're playing for today. So whenever you get difference of opinion and money involved, it's never pretty. And you've got a lot of money involved and a lot of difference of opinion. So it's not going to be pretty. The one redeeming factor, I think, is that they are trying to play around the world, and I give them credit for that. I just said I'm a traditional. I don't like the shortened formats. I don't. I don't like the shotgun start. To me, that format. I get the value. I understand Saudi Arabia getting involved in sport. They do it in Formula One. They're already considering tennis. You know, I've tried to look myself in the mirror on numerous occasions and said, you know, if I was given that opportunity in my playing days, what would I do?
Mm-hmm.
And Daniel, I swear to God, you know, I don't have an honest answer for that. So I've tried to stay away from criticizing people for taking that money because I actually can't answer that question myself. So I think it'd be a little hypocritical because I put gas in my car. I pretty much know where that comes from. You know, you look at a bunch of companies. Aramco overtook Apple as the largest company in the world this year. So their fingers are in a lot of different pies. So I hope we can get some resolution, but at the moment it's just a complete and utter destabilizer.
Yes,
and it's a shame because golf, you know, we just talked glowingly about Tiger Woods. I thought he actually, even after the car accident, I thought he was handling the baton off to a game that was in really good shape. Young players, you know, I miss Cameron Smith, to be honest. I thought Cameron Smith was going to be a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Still might be, don't get me wrong. I know Brooks Koepka won, I think, was probably the best major in 2023, the PGA Championship. I thought it was a great major. You know, so I missed seeing his golf because when Brooks was playing at his best, I just missed the best players playing the best golf. So for me, I don't want something that's other than that. So, yeah, I know it's not a great answer, but, yeah, I hate the fact that it's a destabilizer for this great game.
It was a great answer. And, I you know, Frank, we've been I completely lost track of time. We've been talking for 32 minutes.
Sorry.
No. This has been fabulous. And I just want to knock on your door again in more sooner rather than later and ask you to be on the show again. Is that okay?
Well, happy Veterans Day. It's always a pleasure, Daniel.
Happy Veterans Day, Frank, and have a great time tomorrow night's dinner and the golf. And raise bunches of money, and thank you for all you do.
Thank you.
Aloha. Coming back, Max Novina, tournament director, PGA Tour, Century, The Century. It's happening January 4th through the 8th. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Come celebrate Aloha Power's Veterans Sale this week. Up to 25% off everything. Honda, Stihl, Maruyama, Echo, Husqvarna. Riding and power mowers, chainsaws, blowers, hedge trimmers, and accessories. We ship off island. Aloha Power Equipment. Evile next to Costco Gas and in Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment.
Aloha Power Equipment.
Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PJ and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Do you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing? Schedule a session with Coach Claude Brusseau, PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. It's the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and two-time ASPGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning? Call Claude at 808-856-9458. Or book with him at WailaeaGolf.com. That's 808-856-9458. Have more fun and stop paying for lunches.
The Golf Club tip number 81. Don't throw your bag in the pond. You'll want your car keys and wallet when driving home. Now, back to the Golf Club with Danielle Tucker.
Oh, yeah, just 54 days and 22 minutes away from the Century. Max Novina, Tournament Director, PGA Tour Century Tournament of Champions, January 4th through the 8th at the Kapalua Plantation Course. Welcome into the clubhouse, and my apologies, I completely lost track of time.
Aloha, Danielle. Good to be with you. And I certainly enjoyed listening to Frank Novello and you riff on golf and everything that's going on. So no worries.
Thank you. Oh, my goodness. So in 2023, the Century supported more than a dozen Maui nonprofits. And celebrating the 26th year now on Maui, the Century returning to Kapalua in January, kicking off the 2024 PGA Tour season. Wow. You know, this is 54 days. Are you ready?
we are. We're at least getting there. But before we talk about the Century, I'd be remiss with today being Veterans Day. On behalf of the PGA Tour, the Century, our players, our community, to say thank you to all of our veterans, their families. Danielle, I know your son serves, and so, you know, thank you to your son, thank you to your family, and we're just, as an organization, very, very honored to celebrate Veterans Day today.
Thank you. You know, yeah, boy. Takes me back. Okay, takes me here, home, you know. Max, do we need volunteers?
We absolutely do. So the response so far has been tremendous, especially with everything that's happened here on West Maui. That said, we still need approximately 50 more volunteers specifically in gallery management. And, I'm personally of the belief that volunteering at a PGA Tour golf tournament is one of the best experiences in all of sport. You're literally inside of the ropes, rubbing elbows with the athletes, and, just good aloha vibes from the gallery. So we're in earnest, making a final push over the next 54 days to close out gallery management. We certainly hope that some of your listeners will join us.
That would be great. I mean, gallery, you're in. All right, so how does one manage the crowds? What are they expected to do?
Yeah, well, we're really lucky here on Hawaii and on Maui because I think people always bring aloha and respect to everything that they do. But you're inside of the ropes. You're working with the players. You're ensuring that the gallery is quiet at times when players are trying to execute their shots. You're also helping people get around the golf course. And while you're volunteering, you're truly experiencing the golf tournament up close and personal. And I know that many of our volunteers really cherish all the interactions, whether it be with the players, the caddies, the production, and obviously the fans that come out and watch the event.
Fantastic. Okay, so basically you're there and you're on one side of the ropes kind of letting people know that to calm down, to silence. If somebody's talking, you just kind of respectfully ask them to stop talking so that the player can focus on their next shot, that sort of thing. It's just helping everyone know where they are at the moment, because you in the beauty of the plantation course, or if a whale jumps up in the air, it's like, wow, look at that. You need to be reminded that you need to kind of keep your voice down and know that these guys are at work and they would really like to win the tournament. And some of these guys are going to be Ryder Cup players. Have they all committed?
Yeah, we're so fortunate. We have one of the best fields in all of golf. Obviously to get into the Century, you have to either win or be a part of the top 50 FedEx Cup points list the preceding year. So, essentially when you think of the U.S. team as well as the European team, many of the players that will qualify for the Ryder Cup will also be qualified for the Century.
Okay, I was just thinking, Max Homa is off in, Europe playing golf. Is he going to be in the field? Did he make it?
Max Homa's in.
Yay!
Absolutely. Yeah, we're currently at 58 qualified, and that's going to represent the largest field that we've ever had.
Wow.
Last year we had 39 players, so we expanded the eligibility from top 30 to top 50, and currently 58 qualified. We have two more events through the FedEx Cup Fall, and the potential for a field of as many as 60 players.
Wow, this is really exciting. And I'm going to digress just a little bit. I understand that there was a run, possibly. I'm not sure. I don't know the details. But again, over $250,000 was raised by Century Insurance for Maui. Do you have the details on that?
That's right. So Century Insurance, our title sponsor, absolutely one of the best titles on the PGA Tour, and certainly on the other side of August 8th and the fires here on Maui, they've stepped up huge, making donations totaling more than $1 million since the fires. And most recently, they hosted a walk or a run at Century World, their golf course that recently hosted the U.S. Senior Open. And, it's amazing. For an organization, a community that's thousands of miles away, to be thinking about our island and our people and how they can continually, step up and support. And so mahalo to Century and to the people of Central Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's really you know, connected communities. That's what it's all about, and we are connected. Century World, by the way, is an absolutely beautiful golf course, and it's a perfect walk and a gorgeous run, because you have to be inspired for me to go running along a golf course. I'd have eyes wide open. So that's great. It's great. And, you know, it's just incredible how much money the tournament brings in, and now how much money that the Century Insurance folks are generating to send to Maui to all the different nonprofits that are a part of the Century here and benefit from it, but now on a much greater need level. So the need is high, and the response from Century Insurance has been phenomenal. What are some of the main nonprofits that benefit from the tournament?
Well, it's really a range of care. We have a handful of designated beneficiaries, everyone from Halemakua to Kalima o Maui, Lahaina Junior Golf, the Boy Scouts, and so truly a range of care, right? Elderly, you know, folks with mental health challenges, environmental protection, certainly junior golf and youth recreation. And in any given year, we work with all of these nonprofits. They come to the event. You talk about volunteering. Beyond our tournament volunteers, these nonprofits step up and they bring their constituents to the event, and they help at the golf tournament, everything from parking to ecology to hospitality. And it's truly the underpinning. It's one of the reasons that the PGA Tour and the Century has been able to give away so much money to their local communities. It's because of this, you know, volunteer workforce. And, you know, we're certainly honored to represent a range of care.
Yeah, and you can be a part of that gallery management and be a volunteer and help to bring in that money. 50 gallery management volunteers are needed for the Century Tournament of Champions. Of course, the reason why they can, as Max said, the reason why they can give so much money into the community wherever a PGA Tour event is played is because, you know, if you had to pay all the volunteers, you wouldn't be able to raise money for the community. So the volunteers are what's needed to make it happen. All right. Just what did I say? 56 days away. The Century celebrates its 26th year on Maui when the event returns to Kapalua. This year's tournament kicking off the calendar year of the PGA Tour with, as Max mentioned, one of the most exceptional fields featuring the top 50 players from the FedEx Cup playoffs points list, along with those who qualified by winning a 2023 PGA Tour event. And we could have 60 great players from around the world. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha. We're going to come back. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, has another lesson for us. And this time, it's the Wedge Wizard. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, 21724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Got a shutterbug in your life? Pro Camera Hawaii has just what you need. Pro Camera has lots of holiday specials for you. Your authorized Canon, Sony, Fujifilm, Nikon, and Ricoh dealer. With in-stock and special order for your hard-to-find items. Pro Camera Hawaii, we know cameras. From digital cameras, lenses, audio, lighting, video accessories, and gift certificates. Pro Camera Hawaii has it all. Now at Pearl Kai Shopping Center. Capture the memories.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Hoipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
Got my new book, Three Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
All right. Now, I want you to listen very carefully, because there are not many people who have the qualifications that this man brings to the table. Claude Brousseau, PGA Master, Director of Player Development, Wailea Golf Academy at Wailea Golf Club on Maui, the only Golf Channel Academy in Hawaii, and of course, he's a Golf Channel Academy lead coach. He is a talent contributor with Sports Illustrated, Morning Read. He does two videos a month there. You can see those at no cost. Golf Digest, certified instructor. Flight Scope, certified instructor. Aimpoint Level 3, certified instructor. Vision 54, authorized coach. Vision 54 is all about the mental game. V1 Sport Coach Ambassador. Ranked number one teacher in the state of Hawaii by Golf Digest. List of best teachers 2022-2023 in every state. Second time in a row that's done. He's also number one for 2019-2020. And his section in Morning Read, the golf section of Sports Illustrated, is called Golf Tips in Paradise. Welcome into the clubhouse, Claude.
Good morning, Danielle. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Absolutely. And absolutely. And I was talking with Frank Nabolo, and I lost track of time, so I apologize for being late. But we need to go into Wedge Wizard, the scoring club. I love this.
Yes, Danielle. But first, I would like to take the opportunity to say thank you for the veterans that serve. And because of what they do, we have that great lifestyle here in this country. So thank you very much. And I know your son will serve as well. So for the family of the people who serve, I want to make sure we say thank you to them.
Thank you, Claude, very much.
Okay. Now, for the Wedge Wizard. So if we look at the golf game, if we start with a question here, how many greens in regulation, meaning on a par four, let's say, hit the green in two, in a par five, hit the green in three. So how many greens in regulation, the in average, the tour players hit per round?
I have, you know, math has never been my strong suit.
I'm using that as an introduction to help the listener to understand that the best player in the race, in the world, sorry, in 2023 hit in average 12 green per round.
Oh.
So we can look at it a different way in math. They miss one out of three. So those are for the best players in the world. That's why your wedge game is so important for players who doesn't play at that level. Just to put things in perspective, if your handicap is 20, you will hit only 21% of the green in regulation. That means four green per round. You need a good wedge game. If your handicap is 8, you will hit 8 greens in regulation, or 43% of the time. So if you want to have more fun, score better, you need to spend time on your wedge game.
All right.
Now, the wedge, we suggest to have 4 wedge in the bag, regardless of the level of play you have. Because, let's say, the golfer could have a 58, 54, 50, and 46. For most of the players, that will be the pitching wedge they have in their bag. So as you can see, there is about 4 degrees of difference in the loft. That will give you four different distances, and that will give you 4 different trajectories. Often the golfer will ask, Claude, the guy, why I got a gap wedge now? What is that gap wedge thing? It's because in the last few years, of course, distance sells, And then people want to say, oh, I hit my pitching wedge 150 yards. Let's say, oh, I'm hitting it far. What happened is that the manufacturers have made the loft stronger on the wedges. If we go way back in the 70s, let's say, the 9-iron was 48 degree of loft. Today, your pitching wedge is 46 often, let's say, in different brands. So that was too much difference to control your distance and your short game. If you have a stand wedge that is 56 and a pitching wedge that is 46, you cannot really control your distance. So the wedge game is you need to hit your numbers. What I mean by that is wedges are not powerful clubs. They're precision clubs. The closer you get to the hole, the more precise you need to be how you control your ball. So let's say you want to make sure that you hit your number. What I mean by that, you need to know how far the ball carry in the air. When we talk distance for your listener, is we talk distance in the air from point A to point B. So that means, as an example, let's say for Claude, it's 58 goes 70 yards most of the time. The 54 goes 80. The 50 goes 90. And then the pitching wedge goes 100 in the air.
Wow.
So this way, every golfer has to know their numbers. And it doesn't matter what Claude does with his wedge. It depends on Danielle, what she does with her wedge when she plays. So you got a baseline to hit your number. That's what I mean by hitting your numbers. When you got a shot into the green and it's 80 yards, you don't want to hit it 90.
Right.
Because you get over the green.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, can I ask a question?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Any question in time? Yeah. Go ahead.
Is this, are wedges something that you just need to let your gravity and your arms do the work, or do you need to put some oomph behind it?
Okay, great question, Danielle. So when I'm talking wedge play, I'm talking pretty much full wedge swing. So it's not pitching, it's not chipping here. It will be your full swing motion, meaning you will shift your weight on back leg on the backswing, you will shift your weight on the, and then that will be kind of a full length swing.
Okay.
That's a great question there. So that's how you will establish your baseline, I call that. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, so we're talking full swing, but not oomph and swinging out of your shoe here, because you don't need that. It's just 80 yards, let's say, or 100 yards. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, let's say you want to tune up your distance more. Like, okay, you want to lower the trajectory a little bit, but you need like 5 yards less or 8 yards less. I got a system that I call, let's say on a normal shot, you will hold the grip at the end of the grip, okay, the top of it, okay, like a normal shot. So let's call that level one. That gives you your standard distance. You want to cut a little bit of distance. You can just slide your hands maybe a quarter of an inch or half an inch lower on the grip. Then that will cut distance. You don't need to change the length of the swing. You don't need to change the speed of the swing. You don't need to change the tempo of your swing. So it's a lot. And then if you do that 3 times, let's say level one, normal, level two, a little bit lower, level three, a little bit lower, if you got 4 wedges, you cover 12 distances that you don't need to change your DNA swing, I call it. What is your normal length, normal speed, normal tempo? Then when you play, the game becomes a lot easier because you got 12 distances totally cover when you play your wedges into the green.
Wow, cool. So another thing that I thought about is how do I practice knowing the distance without having to buy something to, zoom and see?
Great question, Daniel. No, that's a great question. So there's a couple ways you go about it. Because it's a short distance, so actual practice facility, they may have like a circle there, or they may have a green in the practice facility. And then you will measure how far it is, and then you can see if the ball lands in that area.
Okay.
One way you can do it is, let's say you go on the golf course at the end of the day. Like here, it's pretty quiet after 4 o'clock at Wailea. I would suggest the player at your course go when it's quiet, go on hole, let's say, number one, and then, let's say, measure from the flag 70 yards as an example. Then take your, let's say, for somebody that could be their gap width, just hit 3 balls from there, fill up your divot, then drive to the green and look where your balls are. That's how you can, and then you can go to the next hole, and then you say, okay, let's do it from 90 yards. Which club do you need to get there? That's one way you can do that.
Okay.
So without buying a device.
Okay, that's great. So I don't have to buy one of those viewfinders. I can't remember the name of it. Now, is it ShotLink? I could buy a ShotLink, right? No.
No, ShotLink is the program, and what they measure on the tour, they measure every shot with that. Okay. But let's say, as an example, you can buy a Bushnell, Nikon. There is different brands out there that will give you the exact distance. So,
next question. How do the guys in the clubhouse feel about me practicing on you know, number one at 4 o'clock? Is that cool? Do I pay?
Yes, you will pay if you play your round.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't just show up on the golf course and say, oh, I'm going practicing on number one. Now, that will not be going good with the clubhouse. I'm talking. No, that's a very good question, Daniel. I'm talking more. Okay, let's say we have a 9-hole rate at the end of the day.
Yeah, okay, that's
great. And
then
at that time, most of the courses, they're not that busy. Now, of course, you don't do that when it's a busy day. Okay. You go, you pay your rate for the 9 holes, let's say, at the end of the day. Then instead of playing around, you want to manage your wedges on the course so you know how far the ball goes.
That's excellent. Yes. You do have to do these things to get to know what your clubs will do. And it's best to do it when you're by yourself, I think, because that or with a very good friend, because you're going to go at your own pace. This is a practice time. It's an investment in yourself and getting good at the game, getting to know your clubs. A lot of people don't even know, you know, what do I do with this wedge? What is that for? You know what? This is perfect. Thank you very much, Claude.
Okay. Then just to finish on that, if you want, if we resume, there is let's say, 4 simple ways to control your distance. First, it's your club selection. You either take your 58, 54, 50, or 46 wedges, let's say. The next is how you place your hands on your grip. If you go down on the grip, it shortens up the club, so the distance goes shorter. After that, if you have more time to practice, you can change the length of your swing with your wedge. You can do a 3/4 swing, let's say, but it's still a full swing in speed and rhythm, but the length of it is just, let's say, 3/4. Then, lastly, you can train by changing the speed that you're swinging at. It was interesting. One, 2 players I was with, I asked him, how do you hit the ball 60 yards? He said, Claude, I swing my 60 miles per hour. I say, what about 50 yards? He said, I'm swinging 50 miles per hour.
Oh.
But this is very high-level players. Oh. Most of us don't have time to get good at knowing, first, how fast you swing and be aware of how long is your swing. So that's why I recommend for the recreational golfer, I call them, just experience first with just changing your hands on the grip, location of your hands on the grip. That's a lot easier because you don't need to change anything in your swing.
Right on. And what do you mean by never force a wedge?
Okay, so what I mean by that is, that's a great question, Danielle. You want to hit, if you know your hands goes 80 yards. Don't try to hit that club 90 because you lose control on it. The wedge game is about controlling how far the ball goes and how the ball travels. So you better, if forcing, okay, I need a 100 yards, but I'm not too sure if my 50 degree does that, then I will force swinging harder with that club. That's not a good idea. That's what I mean by not forcing the distance out of a club, especially your wedge.
Excellent. You get in trouble with that. The wedge will hurt you.
Correct.
Thank you.
It's interesting. I was witnessing in an LPGA tournament. I forgot the name of the player, but when she was warming up before going, her caddy every day. I saw it every day during the 4 days of the tournament. The caddy will take the last spot, let's say on the left side of the practice facility, the range where she warm up. Her caddy, before she arrives, will go and put head cover at 50, 60 yards. And then she will always start by, okay, can I hit that head cover with my wedge, let's say 50 yards? Then the next one, can I hit it at the 60 yards? So you can also do something like that at your practice facility. Go where, you know, you're the last on the left or the right side. Be careful not to be hit by somebody. So you do that when it's quiet.
Right.
And then you could put stuff in the range, not too far, so you can see if your ball hits your target.
Did you say that Annika Sorenstam used a baseball glove?
Yeah, what happened with that is a friend of mine told me, and she watched her doing that, she would send her caddy out at 50 yards, and then he had a baseball glove in his hand, and then she would hit shots, and then it would catch the ball. How precise she became, then she will say, okay, back off, let's say 60 yards. But that's kind of dangerous for your teeth, but she's very good.
Right.
But she was controlling her distance by having her caddy out there catching the ball at exactly the distance she wanted to get to hit her wedges. That's kind of interesting, isn't it?
That's good.
Oh, yeah. That's very good.
Yes. Yeah. Gosh. Okay. That's great. So you've got to train, you've got to practice with your wedges to lower your score. Because,
correct.
You know, how many of us go from the tee to the green?
Mm-hmm.
Not so many people go from tee to green and then putt in. So you're going to be at different places in the course. Some requires an iron, but most likely you're going to want to know how to control your game around the green when you're close in.
Correct.
Claude Brousseau, thank you so much for all of the background you give me and all of the work that you put in to making it interesting and fun. And I'm sure that when you're teaching, when you're with a student, that you do the same thing, that you make it interesting and fun at the same time. So they're going to enjoy this great game. And I want to point out that, you can watch Claude Brousseau's videos. He's produced 38 with Golf Channel, and they're available at no cost on his website. It's claudeforbestgolf.com. And he's produced 18 videos with Sports Illustrated. That's at www.si.com. And then you put in the search Claude Brousseau, and it'll find it for you. And he's written a book. His book is Realize Your Golfing Potential. Okay? So Claude would like to give someone who would like to win this book a book. He'll sign it and send it to you. Realize Your Golfing Potential. It's great. There's lots of photos. There's lots of illustrations. There's lots of very easy-to-read information about how you can realize your golfing potential by staying on course for better golf. And right now, all of our lines are being used. But when we say aloha to Claude. We'll have a phone line open, and we want you to dial 808-545-1111 so you can get your copy of Realize Your Golfing Potential. Okay? All right. Claude, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Aloha and have a great day.
You too. Have a wonderful weekend. We've got Steve Pike coming with us. Steve Pike has been in this game for a long time. So have I. So I'm not talking about age. I'm just talking about experience. Steve Pike, owner, editor, Spike's Peaks, The Art of Travel. He's also defined golf business reporting for Golf Week, for Golf World, Golf Shop Operations for the New York Times Magazine, and Golf Digest. And we'll be back with Steve Pike after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Come celebrate Aloha Power's Veterans Sale this week. Up to 25% off everything. Honda, Stihl, Maruyama, Echo, Husqvarna. Riding and power mowers, chainsaws, blowers, hedge trimmers, and accessories. We ship off island. Aloha Power Equipment. Evile next to Costco Gas and in Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment.
Aloha Power Equipment.
Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips. When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Everside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
K-O-R L Y N I Honolulu, and we want you to win yourself a book that's beautiful. This is Realize Your Golfing Potential. Realize Your Golfing Potential. It's a really cool book, and it's almost a coffee table book, and it's got great information in it and illustrations. So if you know listening didn't completely make it for you, then you'll be able to look at this book and really get some great tips before you're back on the golf course. The number to call and win Realize Your Golfing Potential by Claude Brousseau, 808-545-1111.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Steve Pike, owner, editor, Spike's Peaks, The Art of Travel, award-winning travel writer, defined golf business writing in the 1990s for Golf Week and Golf World and Golf Digest and Golf Shop Operations for the New York Times Magazine Group. Welcome into the clubhouse, Steve.
Hi, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. A pleasure. You know, I follow you on Twitter and, of course, other social media, and I'm always fascinated by how closely you watch. And the stock market did a pretty good job closing yesterday. That was Friday, right? Yesterday.
Yes.
And yet I hear that, you know, Callaway and is down. Callaway and Topgolf merged in March of 2021. Was that a good idea, or is it hurting Callaway?
Well, I think if you just look at the stock price in March, early March of 21, which was around $30 a share, maybe a little bit more in that range, to where it is, where it finished Friday, which is at $9.96 a share, it was a bad idea. But I think that you have to. It's a long play. It's always been a long play for Chip Brewer and Callaway Golf. And they're willing to go through the growing pains in order to see these fruits of their $2 billion investment. As they say, it's a marathon and not a sprint. And that said, I think they're always a little bit, have been frustrated the past couple of years based on the fact that Topgolf doesn't seem to get the respect or the understanding from Wall Street that they think it deserves based on its success. And now that it's for the first time, or maybe only the second time in Chip Brewer's 11 years at Callaway Golf, the quarterly numbers didn't meet Wall Street's expectations. You know, it gets the company gets spanked for it. but that said, I also think that when your core business, which is now Top Flight, has a mixed third quarter, and so much so that you expect to have a slow fourth quarter, that if Wall Street is going to react appropriately, and that's what it's done.
All right. Well, Topgolf, we were excited about it coming here to Hawaii near the Alawai golf course, you know, on a piece of property, and I think it's a great venue idea. I think it's a terrific. I don't understand why they don't get any respect. Look at what Tiger Woods is doing and Rory McIlroy. They're doing a Topgolf, right?
Well, they do Pop Stroke, which is a miniature golf version of Topgolf. Well, I think one of the reasons why is because when you look at Topgolf as a whole, with the 60-some venues and the ones that the company wants to add, and the cost of building those, mostly with borrowed money or credit, it costs a lot of money, and they're somewhere in the neighborhood. Topgolf is, as part of Callaway, is around $500 million in debt.
It's just a drop in the bucket.
It's a drop in the bucket, and that's on top of the other debt that Topgolf Callaway Brands has a company. Now, understand, of course, that a lot of companies in this day and age operate on debt, but it's such a new company, I think, to Wall Street. Topgolf is. It might not be necessarily new to you and I and others, but it's such a new company to Wall Street.
Yeah.
And couple that with the fact that it has its debt, and couple that with questionable whether Wall Street questions the sustainability of Topgolf, then you run into the problems run into the challenges that the company has these days. And I think that while you wish Pop Stroke and Tiger Woods and all of that well with their ventures, I think it's, you run it, that's the same challenge that PopStroke and these other companies, whether it's Drive Shack, maybe it's miniature golf version, which is called the Puttery. How sustainable are all of these companies?
Yeah, there's just too many.
5 years from now. Yeah, and is it a fad? Is it the jury is still out on pickleball? Is it a fad, or is it something that's going to be around for two or three generations? We don't know yet.
And it's funny because if you ask a pickleball player, they'll say it's going to be here for centuries.
They said the same thing about Cabbage Patch dolls.
Oh, wait a minute! Have adults gone to playing with Cabbage Patch dolls that much? Now, can I ask you a question? I don't think a lot of people understand, including myself, completely. Although I know when you say most companies are operating on debt. I mean, you know, what is up with that? I mean, the United States of America is operating on debt.
It operates on debt. It operates on borrowed money. And operates and operates with its ability to pay that money back.
Do they have the ability? So, in other words, yes, I see what you're saying. That people are doing business with the company because they have the ability to pay it back. That is the assumption we go into.
Right, but it's sort of like stay within the golf industry analogies for a second. When you look at companies. Or stores like PGA Tour, Superstore, and these others, the big retailers, whether it's the Dick's or something like that, and you see all of these clubs in there from all the major manufacturers, okay?
Yeah.
And you see rows and rows and rows of drivers and rows and rows and rows of irons and wedges and balls. A lot of that stuff is in there on some sort of a credit system. In other words, PGA Tour Superstore, I'll single them out because I don't know for sure. They didn't pay for all that product. A lot of that is in there on some sort of credit, and if they don't sell it, they get to send it back and get more credit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's sort of, that's the way... That's the way that a lot of companies work. If you're a Coca-Cola, you put all the stuff into the grocery stores. Chances are the grocery stores aren't paying for all of that.
Yeah, especially since a lot of it might go flat.
Yes, exactly. And I'll give you sort of a back to Topgolf and Callaway brand, a good indicator that maybe. Topgolf and Callaway brands are sort of at least temporarily switching their strategies came November 1st when it was announced that Topgolf Callaway had bought four venues of Big Shots venues, which were owned by Invited Clubs. And basically the reason for that, as Chip Brewer said, is and they paid $29 million for those four together. It was cheaper to buy four already existing Big Shots with a top version of Topgolf venues for $29 million than it is to build one Topgolf venue.
Wow. What does that say about construction costs?
Right.
Right.
And what does it say about being able to harness your debt?
Yeah.
And what does it say about? And a lot of that, when it comes to Topgolf, Callaway brand is the rental space, the real estate that is used, because most of the, I'm not going to say all because I'm not sure all, but the majority of the land that Topgolf sits on is not owned by Topgolf Callaway. It's owned by a by another partner or another real estate entity, which means it does not have that asset to include as part of its portfolio.
My goodness.
Off Callaway Brands.
Yeah. It's complicated.
But is it a good company? It's complicated, but is it a successful company? Yes. It's just going through some growing pains right now that I think Chip Brewer, who's done a great job in his 11 years as president of Callaway, they thought would happen. I don't think maybe they thought it was going to be quite the challenge that it is, but I think there's a lot of smart guys over there in Carlsbad, and they should be able to figure it out.
I think they will. I mean, given the last 5 years of, with the pandemic, you know, we're just coming out. By the way, the economy is actually doing really, really good. So our economy. Now, Steve, we're about to close, not right away. We've got a couple of minutes. But Steve Pike, the owner and editor of Spike's Peaks, The Art of Travel, and defining golf business in the 90s for Golf Week and Golf World and Golf Digest and golf shop operations for the New York Times Magazine. Steve Pike's golf partners have included Arnold Palmer, Nancy Lopez, Alice Cooper, Joe DiMaggio, George Brett, Jimmy Buffett. He's interviewed and profiled President Donald Trump, Tiger Woods, Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, Jack Nicklaus, Olympic gold medalist Scott Hamilton. But let's go back to the golf partners. Who was the most fun to play golf with? I'm going to take a guess. I'm not going to say it, but you tell me the person that you enjoyed most playing with.
I would have to say it was probably Arnold Palmer, because Mr. Palmer never took himself too seriously, and he was always interested in what you were doing. He was interested in your game, and that type of thing. Now, he would certainly hit for me. He would certainly, you know, question a few of my shots. But he would always do so, of course, good-naturedly, and always with a certain amount of respect and understanding that you don't take yourself too seriously, but you can take the game seriously, and just go out and play and have fun. Just swing the club and have some fun with it.
Yes. Arnold Palmer. I mean, if we could all just be a little bit like Arnold Palmer, we'd be a whole lot happier and nicer to one another. I'm convinced.
Yes, I remember the last time I saw Mr. Palmer, probably before he passed, at Bay Hill. And I went up, of course, and introduced myself to him again. And I said, Mr. Palmer, Steve Pike, good to see you again. And he looked at me and he said, Steve, how long have I known you? And I said, well, sir, something like, and this was a few years ago. I said, well, sir, something like 25 years. And he said, that's right. And what have I always told you to call me? And I said, Arnold. And he goes, yeah, you're damn right. And I said, yes, sir, Mr. Palmer. And that was kind of it. But,
yes, sir, Mr. Arnold.
Yes, exactly. And that's the way he was around everybody.
Steve,
he never took himself too seriously.
Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. It's been a pleasure talking with you. Enlightening. Thank you for the business.
Thank you, Danielle.
Aloha. Aloha Power's Veterans Week sale. All week, Aloha Power's Veterans Week sale. Everything is on sale up to 25% off. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it, chainsaw, mower, blower, trimmers. You want them? They're on sale this week. We ship off island. New shipments arriving daily. Aloha Power Equipment, Evile, next to the Costco gas station and in Waipahu. Aloha Power Equipment, we put power at your fingertips and tell them Danielle sent you. Pro Camera Hawaii, now in Pearl Kai Shopping Center. Capture your memories with the best photo equipment possible. And the Honolulu Sign Company, branding banks and shopping centers and businesses and hotels since 1939. Brand yours. Claude Brousseau, master teaching professional. And the Aloha Section, PGA. Teach your children to play golf. The gift that lasts forever. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.